So, imagination is something that is, in fact, our friend, our portal, our spaceship, shall we say. I'm going to take a drink of water first. Hang on. Our space shuttle, our spaceship between our human senses and receiving awareness of the spirit realm. And so that thing that, like what you said earlier, Barb, about just making it up, is that how you worded it? You wanted to make sure that you weren't just making it up? Is that how you said it? Yeah. But in fact, you could very well be just making it up. However, the fact that you are making it up, the fact that it came to you as that made up whatever, is the point, is the message, is the information that then needs to be taken seriously and processed. So, in imagination works with the inner version of our outer senses. So, as you saw in warm-up number one, there's the knowing. The knowing is the inner version of our rational process. So our rational mental outer world process is using our mind, right? It arrives at deduction and analyses. However, the inner tool that is its counterpart, like the flip side of the coin, is just knowing. That's number one. Number two, in imagination, using the imagination tools, we have our eyes, our physical eyes that see our physical world. Well, the inner version of that you could say is a tool of imagination, is the clairvoyant ability. And for us hearing with our physical ears, when we hear, things that are actually happening in our physical world, its counterpart on the flip side is clairaudience. And then, in terms of, let's see, what have I left out? There's smelling and tasting, and I don't remember what that is. I have it in my notes because I very rarely use those terms, but I included it in your warm-up number one. And so, imagination works with those inner senses that are the flip side or are the equivalent from the inner world as that which we use in the outer world. So, does that make sense? Who has questions, if anybody?
No question.
Makes sense.
Okay. No questions, anybody?
Could you please say that again, please?
Oh, God, no. No. What do you want me to say again? Oh, my God. Sorry, go ahead.
Imagination works with.
Okay. Imagination is the shuttle, is the conduit, is the highway between our outer world physical senses, our five senses, and our inner world of inner experiences that are coming from our messages from the spirit subtle realms. And then I gave those flip side of the coin examples because our imagination uses our clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, the clairgnosis, which is the just knowing, clairgust something or other for taste, and I don't know the one for smelling. Do you see what I'm saying now,
Yes.
Barb? It's like imagination comes to us as we are imagining something. Our visualizations are all imagination. However, it's coming to us through our psychic intuitive senses, these inner versions of our outer five senses. Is that making sense, Barb?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Now, when people say, because, you know, this is very common. I mean, I think anybody who has ever taught anything about intuition and psychic abilities has somebody who needs to know, how do I know that this can be trusted? How do I know that what I'm getting is real? How do I know that I'm not just making this up? How do I know that this is not just my imagination? And the point is that it is your imagination. Your imagination is giving you messages. And then we have to set forth testing to know if this is something that we want to act on, if this is something that is true. And that typically can only happen this is a very simplistic statement I'm about to say, in two ways for us to know that it is truth, as opposed to, you know, you bad indigestion that came up with this crazy idea. You know what I mean? The two things are, how does it feel when you get that information? If it feels heavy, if it feels like it's your mind racing, this was in warm-up number one also. I think it was warm-up number one. It might have been, hang on one second. My cat is needing something. It was in one of the warm-ups, which we're going to go over in just a minute. These evidences of the quality of how you react when you get a message will be very different when it's coming from an ego, mentally derived, you know, thinking derived source versus a spiritual source. And when you are testing to say, okay, well, is this real truth coming from my spirit guidance, or am I making up something, wishful thinking? You will not know until you really feel into it and notice how it registers. It either registers as something that makes you feel calm, expanded. You get that quintessential possible goosebumps if you get that kind of a reaction. Do you feel like a great weight has lifted off of you? That's typically an indication that it's coming from spirit guidance. If it feels heavy, contracted, like your mind is racing and you're just going into more intellectual, going in circles. I mean, you've spoken to people and maybe you've all done this yourself. I certainly had in my younger years, where you just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with your thoughts, and it's crazy, and it's not the truth. It's strictly coming from an ego programmed mental level. Is everybody with me? I know I'm saying a lot here. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one way is to notice how it makes you feel and to notice these distinctions of calm, truth, relief, confidence, maybe even great joy, heart expansion, or the other. That's one thing. The other is that you need to always set yourself up to ask for protection, to ask that only the highest, most expansive information come to you from one declaration is from the level of love, the vibration of love or above. So you know that you have called in like Archangel Michael or any kind of white warriors of light, and anything that you call upon, anyone that you call upon for protection. So you know that you have at least brought forward a raising of your vibration and the vibration of your energy field, so that if it is information that's coming from outside you that isn't necessarily for your highest good, you'll notice that. So establishing the protection and the declaration that the highest information be brought to you as well as noticing how the information makes you feel, is how you start navigating through. Is this something I've made up and therefore I should not act on it? Or is this coming from my imagination because I am receiving a true message from my guidance? So everybody take that in for a moment, please. And let me know if you have any questions about that, because this is a core starting principle that I want to make sure we get.
Sasha, I do have one question that came up. So when you're ascertaining, the response, and you feel like, okay, this is something that is true, it's from a higher place, but then there's just that doubt, like, is it really true? At what point do you say, you know what, how do you just diminish or dismiss that doubt and just go with it?
Right. So that's obviously individual for everybody, and it's also a case-by-case situation. One of the things that I do is I wait. I wait until there's more clarity. Because if I'm still not getting peace, P-E-A-C-E, regarding the message that I'm getting, I will look at divine timing and space so that I don't feel pressured to make the decision when possible. That's one thing, as I give myself time. Now, there's a difference between giving oneself time because it's really not clear what the guidance is versus not being willing to give yourself permission to own the truth of the message and therefore wanting more time just to escape having to make a decision. You know what I mean, Steve?
Yeah, I do.
I know you do. So the answer is notice how the message makes you feel. Like I've already said, double check, and if you need to repeat it, reestablish your declaration that the highest, best information that is for your greatest good is only allowed to affect you, influence you, reach you. And then the other is if you still are unable to navigate through, then wait until more information comes. And that's a really good question that you asked. I mean, all of us face that.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else have a question? Does that help, Steve? Does that give you enough to work with, like a recipe to work with?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, thank you. That was very clear.
However, the thing with you and with all of us, you know, me too, is, but since I'm talking to you right now, the learning opportunity for you, Steve, is to claim giving yourself permission to go with what you know is true.
Yeah.
You've gotten better at that. However, you've tended to want to go and not honor what you already knew was your truth. You know what I mean?
I sure do, yes.
Yeah. Anybody else have any questions?
No.
Okay. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this with you, but my guidance keeps coming back, so I think I will. It's something in my personal life, so you can see how I handle turning to guidance when it's a high, my cat, when it's a high emotional situation, and the mental reasonings to go in one direction are very valid, and yet guidance is saying just the opposite. So some of you know that I was planning on going to Suzanne Evans's big event at the end of this month called Be the Change. I'm in one of her courses, and the truth of the matter, and I had already paid for upgrades and this and that. So they already had some of my money. I have no idea if they're going to refund it or not. In any case, I kept hesitating to make the airplane reservations and pay for the airplane. I kept hesitating lining up a cat sitter. I would have, you know, loose conversations with a couple of people that could be possible cat sitters, but I never, you know, started to take the steps of somebody who's committed to going. I didn't write out the things that the cat needs and all this the cats need, et cetera. And this, to me, is this is not anybody who knows me, and you guys do, you can be sure this is not my usual behavior. I'm decisive, and I immediately mobilize things into action when I know the direction I'm going in. And I started, and I noticed I was falling behind on some of the assignments. And again, this is not the typical me at all. And last night, as I was working on this course, my guidance just came through clearly at last. I was able to grab it as guidance as opposed to what seemed to be a mental back and forth. And the guidance was that this is not the right time. Right now, I'm physically going through some things that I'm working on healing. And to make a trip, to eat restaurant food, to sit long hours in chairs under fluorescent lights would just be too much for me at this time. And I, where it would be a useful experience for the financial investment as well as what it would take for me to come back to center once I returned. And when I allowed myself to receive that guidance, that there are still things that I know to do for my business that I am in the process of doing that have to get done anyway, that I don't need that training at this time. So it started with my guidance coming through at a time when I could really receive it. I'm working on a spirit guides and higher self course, so wouldn't that be the perfect environment for me to get a message from my spirit guides and my higher self, right? Right. And then my intellectual, positive, healthy ego came in with my spirit guides explaining more of the scenario, explaining that this would be difficult and this would be hard for you to get come back to center. And I felt, now here's the key here, I felt such a relief and such a self-acceptance and compassion for my human self. And I knew that that's what I had to do, and I immediately emailed them, and we'll see what happens from here. But there's nothing that they can say to me, not that they would, but I'm just stating, I'm very decisive about this decision is basically where I was going. There's nothing that they can say to help me look at this from another angle so that I would get there. If this is the right thing for me to do at this time with all parts of what my humanness is going through. So there was a period, Steve, where I was going back and forth a little bit, but I know me well enough to know that waiting would give me the answer. So did that story help with all of you, any of you?
It helped me a lot. I always learn a lot from your personal life experiences. That definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah, good. And who was that other person, Barb? Was that you?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just quickly go around the room again so that you can take from this so that you are able to, with more confidence, turn to your guidance. What did you gain from this, Mary, my story?
So I'm frustrated by my frustration and hesitation and procrastination. So I'm taking away from this that there's the nuances of going deeper to why you hesitate and what's going on. So being aware and listening to the messages that I'm receiving.
Yeah. Thank you. And I have something that I'll say to you in just a minute about that.
Okay.
Great. Who would like to go next as to what you got from my story?
I mean, I can go next with Irene. I would say it's good to hear in the sense that it's almost like the one thing I wrote down is a resonance for me. Like, there wasn't anything anyone or could say that to help you get to your decision. You had to assess it with that plate in that place for yourself. And what I gather from both your share plus the two questions we should be asking ourselves, how does it feel when we get the information and getting the highest, most expansive information? It's literally how do we find our own how do I say this? That direct line to saying whether it's acceptance, whether it's worth, self-worth, whether it's this is what needs to be done and I don't care, I'm going to just bulldoze my way through it. Whatever the range is just getting to that place and having that our guidance help us get there is listening for that and really truly taking that in.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Thank you. Barb, what did you come away with from this story? Because you knew I was planning on going to that event.
Yes, yes, I did. So I was surprised to hear this. Sensations, feelings, messages do come, and that there can be reasons for why we quote unquote procrastinate. That procrastination is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Procrastination, and this is a writer downer, procrastination is a message that we must heed. I learned that a long time ago. Procrastination is a message that we must heed. It's not just outright sabotage. There's more there. Steve, thank you. Anything else, Barb?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Steve, what did this story do for you?
Well, it's really just a powerful testimony to analyzing I think trusting, first of all, asking for the guidance and trusting that you're going to get the message, and then analyzing that message in terms of differentiating the truth from this ego thing that often derails us and takes us away and wants us to take it back to our comfort zone and you know, run away, that kind of thing. So it's really helpful to start to understand how to recognize that truth, you know, just the knowing of this is the direction to go. So that was, to me, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, when we get that information where I'll say it this way. And once we get that guidance and we move enough in the direction that we accept that it is guidance versus, you know, like I say, an experience of bad indigestion and it's playing out in our thoughts, is what action do we then take to honor that guidance. And that's what a lot of the rest of this class is going to be about, are working with our guides to choose actions. So I, as a result of that, I was already moving in the direction even before I got that clear guidance. But I had got back in touch with my doctor. I asked for a slew of new blood tests to be taken. I knew that since health was the factor that had to be faced, that was delaying me attending a big whopper business development event, that I needed to honor the emotions of sorrow and, you know, once again, my health is an issue. You know, this has been the story of my life. And do progressive baby steps towards resolving the problem, in this case a problem or an issue, and continuing to move in the direction of the next steps for my business, et cetera, et cetera. So part of this recipe that I'm giving you is, yes, you get your messages, and yes, you've got to take action. So did that help to add that part in there?
Yes, yes. It did.
How about for you, Mary? Is that relevant
yes.
for you at all? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yes.
So imagination is not, it's only imagination. No. Imagination is your first class seating in an airplane that's going to get you where you want to get to. So if it just comes to you and it seems far-fetched and it seems like a colossal daydreaming imagination moment, that's great. That means that some part of you is generating these amazing possibilities. And then it's a matter of, okay, let's break this down. What's the time frame for this possibility? Is this really something I want? Who do I have to become? Like, for instance, with Suzanne's thing, she made an offer that if you went with a friend, they'd pay for my airfare and all this. Well, I had no motivation to find anybody to go with, absolutely no one. So that was an indication that that was an action step, that this time frame was not the right time frame. You see what I mean in making that point?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you get your message, you want to put it through kind of like a qualifier survey, you know, is this something I want? What's the time frame? Who do I need to be? Am I ready to be that person? So with regards to this same story, in my younger years, I would just push myself through stuff all the time. And it was okay. It's just after whatever it was I pushed myself through, it wasn't that important to have put myself through all of that. And so pushing my way through something, I will only pull out when I feel that this is a definite learning curve or a reprogramming moment that I'm to get out of my comfort zone. But otherwise, if I feel like I'm pushing my way through, that tells me this is not the right time. I do not want to become that person for this event. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
But at all times you ask yourself, do I want to be that person? Do I want to be that person now? Do I want to be that person for this? Right? You see? So when you get information, it's not just, okay, here's the raw diamond. Then you have to start polishing it up and chipping it or whatever people do with diamonds to make them a diamond, and get down to the core diamond, which is, this is my guidance regarding this situation, and I know what to do. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
So it's okay to ask questions. You must ask questions, which is something we'll be doing in our exercises. You must ask questions because we have free will. We are the ones that are being supported by our guides. We are the ones that our soul is working with to have certain experiences, and therefore we need to get what we need to get so that we know what we're doing and we know what we want to do. Does that mindset, does that perspective, does that approach to receiving guidance and what to do when you do get guidance, did that help you?
Yes, it helped me.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Irene?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so we're still working with the principles here. Now, there are many different types of guides, as I know that you know, because you're an advanced group of people. So, basically, guides can be human-looking, they can be animal-looking, they can be just a shape, they could be just a color, it could be a rock that talks, it could be a rock that you just know that it's exuding an emotion that you're supposed to get. A guide can be pretty much anything. And the key is that there are guides that are here as our core group, which we're going to be doing later on. And then there are specialty guides. Some of you have heard me talk about that. And the specialty guides will be part of your after this immersion class, those exercises. And so you can call upon a guide for health, a guide for marketing, a guide for relationship, a guide for more clients, a guide for more money. All of these things you can turn to for guides. Somebody once said, well, my paraphrasing on what I heard was, the spirit realm is like a huge yellow pages, you know, of a specialty and a specialist to match that specialty when you're on a search for what you need. There are groups of guides that work together. There are single guides that work alone for you. There are guides that are more, I'm not sure how yet to describe, I'm going to work on this, to describe the difference between the role of a guide versus a role of an angel. However, you know that there are angels, and those are considered guides of a certain sense. However, it's not there to say that an angel is a guide, there still needs to be a little more distinction about it. However, for the purposes of this course, we're going to keep them all together in that regard. And even in the realm of angels, there are different gradations of angels. There are the archangels, which are the most powerful of the angels, et cetera, et cetera. The important thing that I want to bring home on this is that your guides will not necessarily look like anything you would expect to be a guide. Not at all. In fact, once I was tuning in to my guides for some information, I saw this little boy, and he was my guide for that particular experience. I'm seeing him now, actually, in my third eye, so I'll have to find out who he is in just a minute. So my overall message about this part is for you to suspend any kind of expectations. There may not be wings. There may not be halos. There may not be flowing robes. There may not be that sort of typical stereotypical presentation of what guides look like. It's really going to follow the format of you setting your energy, calling upon the very highest, putting out your request from the heart, like I discussed in our warm-ups, and then wait and see what happens and notice how it makes you feel. Like the other day, I was actually using the block removal, the block transmutation exercise that Barb and Mary know about. And I was working on something, and then all of a sudden, this dark little gremlin being showed up in my third eye. And the mood of this little being was that it was just playing havoc with me. It really wasn't a malicious character. It was just causing disturbances in my energy field. So I, you know, asked my guardians and my warrior angels to escort him into the light, and I was able to go deeper because this interference, this static in my field had been removed. Now, I had no expectation of anything like that happening, but I, of course, am trained, and I've been doing this for the majority of my life, as far as I can tell, and so I knew the difference between how it made me feel and, of course, what I saw. And not to be afraid. You have protection. You have the resources through your command that what does not serve you must leave. So I wanted to make sure I gave you that as a principle as well. Anybody have any questions about that point?
Well, Sasha, no. I have a question.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know if this is the right time, but it's about understanding the difference, like differentiating between a general prayer to God, you know, for help, and specific, you know, requests for guidance from a specific guide.
Okay, so what's your question?
You know, when you feel like you need some help, and you put out a prayer. I mean, I think the first thing, you know, growing up, a lot of us think it was like pray. You know, you pray to God, but then.
Okay, I understand. I got it. Okay, that's a great question. And Barb has her own version of that question too, right, Barb? We've talked about this. Yeah. So here's how I have been trained and how I feel the most comfortable. And that is, our soul and guides are part of God. And so if we go to God, that's the ultimate person or being that answers the phone, kind of thing. However, if we feel that we want to narrow the field a little bit, and that's not something that is right or wrong, the next place to go is our soul, our own higher self. Because it is our higher self, and I'll be discussing this in just a moment, our higher self is the bridge between us and our connecting to our guides. Now, we didn't know that before. You didn't know that before because I've never discussed this with you before. However, it just naturally happens. Our connection to our own soul / higher self is like the launch pad to then connect to guides. However, there are certain things that our soul is not trained in. Our soul is not necessarily a specialist of certain things. And therefore, we can go to warrior archangels, the various specialists, the master teachers, the master healers, to come in and support our soul. And so in that regard, we can go ahead and turn to a guide versus our soul. However, we could also turn to God and say, "Dear God, please help me with us and such. Please send me help." In which case, I would believe that the spirit guides that have that kind of specialty would know who they are, and however it works on the spirit realm, to bring in help, help would arrive. So it can get confusing if we don't know who to call. And that's why I'm saying that the first place you go is to God and your soul. And then from there, you can go for specialists and fine-tuning. Does that help, Steve?
Yes, it does. It does. Thank you.
And how about you, Barb? Does that answer some more of the questions that we had discussed before?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Mary Irene, do you have any thoughts or questions about that?
No.
Irene, are you okay with this?
Yeah, I'm okay with this.
Okay, good. Because now with you, Irene, with your shaman experience, you have an array of beings and sources that you have turned to in the past, right?
Yes.
And so how would you have answered this question, you knowing that there are specialist beings that you've turned to versus the overall reaching out to God?
I think it still comes back to how it feels. There will be an alignment even if the answers are in opposite directions, if that makes any sense. The feelings
mm-hmm.
will be, it's kind of when you feel, I think we've all felt it when it's truly coming from a higher good, a higher place, a pure, authentic heart place.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many answers that come from that place, infinite amount of answers, and they don't all say the same thing. So then it takes whatever answers you get from whatever place you get them from, whether it's a specialist guide or a broader, more expansive place, to then the whole reason that you get multiple answers is then for us to decide what then applies to now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for me it takes, I have to weigh out the rest of the imagination part, which is turning answers into the opposite effect. So that, but that's a whole different
what
thing.
Is that? What do you say a little more about that?
So a lot of times, like especially with this baby that's coming and with my son, I always ask myself, how do I teach or show a child what's the difference between listening to, like you're saying, a guide can appear as a rock, right? So that's just in its most simplistic form, this rock, and what it and it talks. So how does one show or teach a child the difference in how it feels when a feeling is really based on either your own experience and it's not something that someone can give you. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
How is that true? How is it not a disguise? How is it not... you know, the imagination can run the other way. Well, how is it not someone or something impersonating a rock saying something that
right.
sounds good?
Right.
So those are that's the other side of the imagination that comes forth. And these lessons are powerful because even when I think about how am I going to show the baby or show my son, and I think about, well, I struggle with the same things. So that's kind of where I always end up is, okay, kind of how you started this entire course is remember the one time or remember a time and that feeling and then gauge it, compare it, however, whatever the word is. That's our springboard.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes. Thank you. It always comes down to how it feels. And it also comes down to getting as grounded and as centered and clearing out other people's energies as possible. Now, all of you in this class, you got, you, I believe it was in the 2017 immersion class that I gave you all the handout with the Akashic prayers. And one of them, one of the prayers was releasing foreign energies. Does that ring bells for all of you?
Yes.
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 Yes. Steve, you remember the one I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And Irene, do you remember the one I'm talking about?
Yes.
Good. So those prayers and that attitude is critically important to also be able to trust what you're getting. Is you want to vacuum out, you want to clear out other people's energies, like that little gremlin that showed up for me. And, you know, many experiences for me, I'm constantly having to recalibrate and find out, well, who am I really in all this and what's coming at me that I'm absorbing? So when we are looking for guidance and there's that crazy back and forth self-doubt and not trusting, the protocol for you to immediately develop as your go-to salvation recipe, and, you know, you could put this in your notes as well, like on page 5 is the one that I said, energy setup practices to prepare for meeting your spirit guides. You could write this there or any place else that has to do with you knowing how to receive the best, trustworthy, most, if there is such a word, guidance. And that is, get your grounding, get your shield up, whether it's the blue flame shield or whether it's a huge white cocoon, and clear out everybody else's energy. You could do that with the grounding cord. I'm going to teach you another exercise right now. Clear out the center of your head and know that it's okay if you've got gunked up, because that is part of being a human and being sensitive and being on a light path. You will have to find out about these things. So part of getting your guidance when you question your guidance is clean house. Start there. Clean house. And then go into these qualifying questions, like I said before, you know, how does it feel? Do I need to reinforce my call for protection and warrior overseeing me? What do I need to let go within myself that is preventing me from allowing myself to be guided? All of that's called cleaning house by my standards. And then you could go back to the information you got and start feeling it out on a deeper level and asking questions. So if you are not clear about what you're getting, if you're not clear about how to act on what you're getting, do your cleaning house and then give yourself time, like you've heard me share with you. If you do those things, the dust will settle, the fear, the self-criticism, the worry about being able to create the life you want, because if you can't trust your guidance, what do you have? All those kinds of beliefs that pop up, all of that will settle down a little bit. And then you need to use your exercises to work on your ego, your psyche, like the various belief system exercises, like in warm-up number 4 and so on. So this part of what I was talking about was giving you the tools and the attitude, the mindset of how to handle when something shows up in your space as guidance or as doubting guidance. So anybody have any questions about what I've just said?